I love you, Brother Dana. Preach to us. Amen. Take us up.
I do love camp meeting, don't you? I can say this from the heart. I've never come to camp meeting, but what I didn't leave was more than what I come with. And I felt like everybody else got the same. And it's coming from so many directions, but it's all coming from heaven, that if you leave out of here without getting help, I don't know if there is any help for you. And I praise God for that. I was talking about Jackie. I don't know, last year, year before, he's sitting where Brother Kesey is right there, and it was on a night service, and it got out of the banks, and everybody was rejoicing, and somebody just got done preaching, and they was singing, and I stand right beside him. I didn't know if he didn't realize anybody else heard him, and Brother Josh will remember this. He just throwed his hands up in the air. He said, "I've never seen the seven wonders of the world, and I don't care." I said, when you can go to camp meeting and that'll cure your desire to see the seven wonders of the world, that's a place you got to go. And so what a blessing it is. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John's Gospel in chapter number 4. We'll begin reading in verse number 4. I want to preach this morning on a conversation with Christ. I got to notice in the scriptures that Jesus would speak to the rich. He'd rather speak to the poor. He would speak to saints. He talked to sinners. He conversed with Jews, and he also spoke to Gentiles. He would speak to men, and he would talk to women. He conversed with adults and spoke to children. But I'm here to tell you, it was a glad day when Jesus spoke to me. Praise his holy name. But if he ever talks to you, it won't be just a little talk with Jesus. He won't be just passing the time, but it'll be a life-changing conversation. We're going to notice here in this text where Jesus talks to this woman about water. And what he'll do is he'll speak to you about something you know, because he wants to talk to you about something you don't know. He'll talk to you about something earthly going on in your life because he wants to get you to something heavenly. He'll speak to you about something that's physical because he intends on talking to you about something that is spiritual. So he talks to this woman about water because he wants to change her life. And of course, anywhere you come to water in the Bible, there's a new beginning. If you go back, of course, to Noah and the flood, there's a new beginning. If you go back to Moses and the Red Sea, there's a new beginning. If you go to Joshua and the Jordan, there's a new beginning. If you go to Jesus being baptized, there's a new beginning. And can I say to you, anytime you get into the water of the Word, or the water of the Word gets in you, there's going to be a new beginning. And so Jesus is speaking to this woman. He's talking to her. She certainly does need a change. And he's going to talk to her about water. So let's look at these verses, and I'll say four things about this conversation. Look, if you will, in verse 4. The Bible said, "And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied by his journey, sat thus on the well. It's about the sixth hour, that would be high noon, about 12 o'clock our time. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, and here he strikes up the conversation, give me to drink. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, a little history here, if you know the history of Israel. After Solomon, the nation split. You have the north, and you have the south. When the Assyrians began to take over in Israel, it took over in Samaria, in the north. It deported those Jews to other countries that they had captured, and then it took those people and imported them into Samaria, and they began to mix breed. And so you have the southern Jew looked at them in disdain. They did not believe that they were pure blood. And so as a result, if they were going to go up to the northern part, up to Galilee, they'd cross the Jordan, go up on the east side and come back because they didn't want to mix and mingle with those impure Samaritans. And this is what she's talking about here. Look in verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith unto thee, give me drink. He's still talking about water. Thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. And of course, we know who that living water is, don't we? He said, I am the water of life. And verse 11, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not again, neither come hither to draw. Now you can tell she still doesn't know what kind, she's still thinking physical water. And Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Drop down, if you will, to verse number 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Verse number 28, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Jesus is conversing and talking to this woman about water because he wants to change her life. Let me say four simple things to you. First of all, I would understand from verse 4 and 5 that if Jesus is going to talk to this woman about water and change her life, he's going to have to get her to the well. This is where we see the providential hand of God. It is God's hand working through the glove of humanity, bringing to pass His work and His will. The Bible is filled with providence. Aren't you glad for the providence of God? Haven't you experienced that in your life? We could go throughout the Word of God and point those times of providence out. But I would simply refer you to Moses. How that Jochebed took that little baby and put him in an ark or a box into the Nile River. I've been privileged to be at that place. And of course, it was at that time she's protecting him from Pharaoh's soldiers. And at that time, it was Pharaoh's daughter who's going to take a bath. And she just happens to be taking a bath right where the baby is. And she can hear him crying in the bulrushes, and she has compassion on him, and she draws him out. That's where Moses gets his name, drawn out. Miriam, Moses' sister, is standing right there. And she said, hey, I know a woman that could take care of that baby. And so they sent to get Jochebed, and Pharaoh's daughter places Moses back into the hands of the one that had put him in the water and said, you take care of him and we'll pay you whatever it takes. I said that was the first case of government welfare. The government paid for raising one of God's young'uns. Hallelujah. You did know that the Lord will let the devil work for him, but he won't pay him nothing. Hallelujah. And here Moses is raised up under the influence of his mother for a few short years, and she put so much of God in him that all the teaching and training in Egypt could not take out of him. That is providence. But I would also refer to my own personal life. I've preached enough here for you to know my raising. Born and raised back in the hills of West Virginia. I was the youngest of 11, two died as babies. Nine of us grew to adulthood. My dad was an alcoholic all of his days. My mother left when I was a year and a half old. He never remarried. And I was raised in that environment till I was 13, 14 years old. I was the last one at home. My dad had went into DTs. He took a meat fork and jabbed it right up into his throat. I can remember it so vividly and the blood shooting out. They took him to a mental institution. And, of course, there was no one left at home there. And as a result of that, me being by myself, I had already quit school, was not going to school at 13 years old. I had a brother that was 13 years older than me. His name was Joe, and he and his little wife with the little baby they had came to West Virginia and got me, wanting to take me to West Virginia and make me go back to school. He was a pagan himself. He was a drunkard himself. And so I moved up there to Cleveland, Ohio. And they happened to rent a little old apartment over top of some very strange people. We never met anybody like them. They called themselves Christians. I can remember my brother get that barroom crowd on Saturday night. They'd come there in that apartment and they'd play all night long. But early Sunday morning, them rude people downstairs would get up and put on them albums. They began to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Long story short, they began to witness to my sister-in-law. I remember she got saved and got baptized and joined the church. Wasn't but a month or two after that, my brother got under deep conviction and he got saved. I was riding down the road with him one Sunday afternoon, and because of the way we were raised, no influence of moral standard in our home. Our first language was foul language. Never even thought about it. We were driving down the road and my brother looked at me and he said, now Dana, I appreciate if you wouldn't talk like that around me anymore. I said, well, Joe, you was talking like that yesterday. He said, yeah, but I got saved today. That's been 49 years ago and it's still working. Hallelujah. And then just about a month or two after that, after going to church for three occasions, I heard that glorious gospel. Walking down a little alley between 46 and 47th Street, Clark and Train, the Holy Ghost showed up. And thank God, birthed me into His family. I say that is providence. That's not accident. That's providence. Now, I pray you wouldn't raise that way. Perhaps you were raised with godly parents and a godly family and a good atmosphere and brought to camp meeting, brought to church. But understand, it was no accident that you heard the gospel. No accident that you got saved. God working in providence in all of our lives. He used two areas of providence as far as this woman's concerned. I'm here to tell you, if he's gonna get her to the well and talk to her about water, if he's gonna talk to her about water and change her life, he's gotta get her to the well. I think first of all, he used her thirst. He used that natural aspect in her life, that craving that she had for that which was physical that all of us have. He's working in that earthly realm to draw her up to this well, using the natural, her thirst. God working where we're at and in the circumstances of where we're at, drawing us unto himself. But he not only uses her thirst, he uses her time. You've heard preachers preach on it, I'm sure. The Bible said that she came at the sixth hour, which was high noon, our time. But if you go to the Old Testament, especially Genesis chapter 24, the Bible said when that servant went out there to meet Rebecca, that Rebecca came to the well at the time of the evening when the women go forth to draw water. And so it was the custom that all the women would go together, because many times there would be huge obstacles or stones covering that well and they would push it away. But they came all together. This woman's not coming with other women. It suggests to me that her lifestyle has separated her from all these other women. That they look down upon her in disdain, and somehow she realizes that they want nothing to do with her and she wants nothing to do with them. And what she's thinking is, I'm going to go at high noon, because at high noon nobody goes to the well, and I'll get up there all by myself. I'll get my water and get out of there. But little does she know that there's somebody waiting on the well. God is using not only her thirst but using her time, and he's there, thank God, awaiting on her. I'm glad he's always there waiting on you when he draws you by his providential hand. I'm here to tell you that if he's going to talk to her about water, he's got to get her to the well. That is providence. The second thing that I would say to you about this conversation of water, he's not only going to have to get her to the well, which is providence, but if he's going to talk to this woman about water and change her life, he's going to have to get her over the well. Yes, now, what I've noticed in this text as I have read it, yeah, is that this woman lays claim to this well. Yes. This woman seems to have an overwhelming connection to this well. As a matter of fact, that's all she's got is something physical. She's drank of this well for many years. She's heard the history of this well. She knows all about this well. There seems to be a mental connection to this well. There seems to be a physical connection to this well. There seems to be a moral connection to this well. There seems to be a racial connection to this well. There seems to be a religious connection to this well. This well is very sentiment to her, and she's got a very of this well. I'm going to tell you something. If she knows anything, she knows about the well. Listen to her talk. She's all about the well. But I'm here to tell you, that's all we've got in this world. That's all we know anything about is the physical. And if she finds any virtue, her virtue is in this well that she has come to. Notice that in verse number 9, she knows about the divisions and distinctions of this well. She talks to him about it. She said, look, I mean, you know, you're a Jew, I'm a Gentile, you're a man, and I'm a woman. I mean, she's dealing with those past issues as far as Israel's concerned, as far as she's concerned, but she's talking about it at this physical well. She also knows, I say to you, about the descendancy of this well. She said, did you know this property and everything belong unto Jacob? And she lays claim to him. She said, now y'all may not think so, but he's my father just like he's your father. And he said, I tell you, she knows about the, she knows who's drinking of this well. She said, well, Jacob drank of this well. Joseph drank. Ooh, ain't that something? I'll tell you, that'd be a big thing for me to be able to drink out of the same well that Moses drank out of and David drank out of and that Jacob drank out of and that Joseph drank out of and all their children. Say that I've been, hey, she said, I want you to know I'm drinking deep water. This water, I know the depth of this well. This well is deep. I know all about this well. But the only problem is she's been drinking of this well for all these years and she ain't never been changed. I'm going to tell you, the physical aspects of this old world can never meet the need of your heart. You can lay claim to it. You can say, well, I'm from the north. Or you can say, I'm from the south. You can say, well, I am an American. You can say, I'm a Russian. You can say, I'm black. You can say, I'm... Ain't none of that going to change what needs to be changed. She's all out of the well. This old world's all about the well. The natural. Listen to the news media. Listen to the Hollywood. It's all about the virtue of what you can see and know as far as this world's concerned. But it won't save you. Jesus annihilates her well in one verse. Look in verse 13. He said unto her, whosoever drink of this water. In other words, if he's going to talk to her about water and change her life, he's got to get her to the well, but he's got to get her over this well. Amen. Get over it. You say it belongs to, get over it. You said, but Joseph, get over it. You said, when it's been out, get over it. Oh, he had that problem when he was here with all the religious crowd. They said, well, we've got Moses as our lawgiver. Get over it. If that's all you got, you better get over it. It ain't going to change anything. You say, but Abraham is our father. If that's all you got, get over it. You say, I'm a Baptist. If that's it, get over it. You say, I've been a part of the church for a long time. Get over it. I've been baptized. Get over it. I'm going to tell you, I go to camp meeting. Get over it. My daddy's a preacher. Get over it. Woo! I'm glad he got me over those connections of the past. Truth of the matter is, she drank of this water when she got married the first time. She's drinking of this water when she got married the second time. She's drinking of this water when she got married the third time. Brother Rod, she drank of this water when she got married the fourth time. And now, I'm telling you, she drank of it the fifth. She's shacking up and still drinking of that water. It ain't changed nothing. She's just going to have to get over it. Some things hard to turn loose from, but she's going to have to get over it. Whew. Third thing. If he's going to talk to her about water and change her life, he's not going to have to get her to the well. That's providence. He's going to have to get her over this well. That's her past. But he's going to have to get her beyond this well to another well. That's the process. That's the process. Now notice in verse number 14 what Jesus does. Verse 13, he devastates her. He explodes her well. He annihilates her well. And I want to say this. It's all right. It's all right to tell a man that there's a hell. But you better be able to tell him there's a heaven. It's okay to tell a man he's lost, but you need to be able to tell him how to be saved. You can tell him about all of his lies, but honey, you ought to be able to point him to the truth. And Jesus doesn't leave her in this condition. He said, honey, your well ain't no good for anybody. They can drink of it, and they're going to thirst again in the physical sense and the spiritual. But look in verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst again. But the water I give him shall be in him a well, an artesian well. One you don't have to pump. One you don't have to draw. A water that'll rise up on you. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how it is with other preachers, but I depend on that well when I'm preaching. Something don't rise up, I'm in trouble. All my little theories, my little thoughts, I just fall like dust and they come apart. If something don't rise up, I'm here to tell you, for 49 years, there's been a pumping and a rising up. I heard a preacher talking about going out west and come through one of them deserts, and he saw one of them figurines out there pumping water. It looked like a man pumping water. Said, I pulled over there, had a pull off where you could see it. Walked up and said they had joints in the arms of it. And said, sure enough, the arm was a pumping and water was a coming out. But he said, when I read it, I knowed what it was. It said it was an artesian well. Truth of the matter is, the man wasn't pumping the water was pumping the man. I'm here to tell you, in my worship, it's the water pumping the man. In our singing, it's the water pumping the man. In our preaching, it's the water pumping the man. I'm depending on the well rising up. Somebody said, well, why do you get all, I can't help it. When water rises, you just got to let it go. Yeah, hallelujah. Let the water flow. Woo, pump it, let that water pump. Hallelujah. I didn't come to meeting, this camp meeting, to stir anything up, pump anything up, prime anything up. I just come to let the water rise up. And I sort of figured before I got out of here, it'd start rising on somebody. Now, if you look into this text, you notice that this is a very kind woman. She's a very respectful woman. Matter of fact, she addresses him and she calls him sir on several occasions. That's pretty good when you can get folks religious enough to say sir. On one occasion, she even compared him. She said, well, now, wait a minute. Are you as great as our father Jacob? Man, that's pretty good. She's elevated him. And then on down in the text, she said, well, you know, you could be a prophet. But honey, you ain't went far enough when you're just serving Jesus and you're looking at him like your great-grandpa or some prophet somewhere. Honey, you ain't gone for, you ain't drank of this water. And it's during all this sir business, Jesus said, I'll give you living water. She's still not ready for it because she don't even know what it is. And she said, well, give me this water that I won't have to come here and draw no more. I'm going to tell you something. Our churches are filled with people that are sirring Jesus. Oh, they're respectful to Jesus. But they really don't know who he is. And the kind of Jesus they want you to offer them is a Jesus that'll make life easy, where you won't have to go all the way to the well. You won't even have to carry a bucket. I mean, you don't even have to take that extra trip up there. I mean, I want my life to be easy. I want something. I tell you, I want it to be easy. You mean you got some water? that? Boy, wouldn't you want a religion to give you a nice big old boat and a big mansion in this whole world and keep you from being sick and having any kind of trouble? Honey, if that's what's got to happen to you to find out who he is, you'll never know who he is. She can't drink of this water when she don't know who it is. What he's got to do in the process, he's got to get her to the well. That's his providence. He's got to get her over that well. That's her past. But he's got to get her to the well. Thank God, to another well. He's got to get her beyond the well, let me say, beyond the well, to the real well. But it's a process. He's got to confront her. He's got to convict her. He's got to convert her. And it's a twofold process that happens in everybody's life that ever drinks of this water. You say, well, preacher, what is it? The first thing that has to happen is he's got to show her who she is. In the process of salvation, the first thing Jesus will do every single time is let you know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you'll never understand who he is. And when she did not know who she was, she saluted him and respected him and gave him association as a prophet or something of that nature. But he said, woman, I got to show you who you are. Go get your husband. Yeah. Or she said, I ain't even God. He said, you're mighty right. I know that about you. And here's all I know about you. And he told her everything he knew about her and revealed to her who she was. She said, wow. She ran into the city. She said, I know who he is because he knew who I was. And when I found out who I was, I found out who he is. And when you've got a church full of folks that don't know who they are, they don't know their wickedness, they don't know their sinfulness, they hadn't found out who they are, you can't never find out who he is. Somebody said, that's mean, that's cruel. No. That's the goodness of God leading us to repentance. The first thing I can tell you, I remember the day when he met me in that alley. First thing he told me was, you're a loss, you're a sinner, you're wicked, you're on the road to hell. When I found out who I was interested in who he was. Now I'm going to tell you, in the religious circles of this hour, we've so dampened down the truth of the gospel that she'd have never had to go any further than that, and we'd have baptized her. Well, you heard her. She said she wanted water. Go ahead and sign her up. Come on around, shake her hand, let her be a part of the church, and she'll spend the rest of her time saluting Jesus and respecting Jesus and comparing Jesus and not knowing Jesus because she doesn't know herself. And I'm going to tell you, she run out of there. Somebody said, well, she didn't have no water. Oh, yeah. When she left out of there, I'm here to tell you, she left her sin behind. She left her shame behind. She left her sarcasm behind. But she took the Son with her. She took the Spirit with her. She took the springing well with her. And she ran into the town to the men. Here's the only way she can describe him. Come see a man that told me all that I did. Now, I've sort of wondered how some of them men felt about that. You know what her problem was? He didn't mention me, did he? He said, what? Is not this boom? When she found out who she was, she's able to clearly see who he was. And she's drinking of a different fountain. So if he's going to get her to the well, talk to her about water, change her life. If he's going to talk to her about water and change her life, got to get her to the well. He's got to get her over the well, get over it. He's got to get her beyond the well to himself, another well. But I want us to look, and I'll close with this. I want us to look what happens. Woo, I love it. I love it. Look at the first word in verse number 29. What'd he say? What'd she say? Now, why did they believe? The Bible said they believed because of her testimony. This became the purpose of her life. Because here, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. I'll say two or three things. But listen to what I'm saying. He's going to talk to her about water and change her life. He gets her to the well, gets her over well, gets her to another well, which is himself. But then, thank God, she will be forever brought back to the well. First thing she said was, you want to go to the well with
amen,
me?
Amen.
Why do you want to go? Come on. I mean, anytime anybody ever headed to the well. She said, you headed to the well. I noticed you got a bucket. I'd like to go up there to the well with you. Somebody said, why? Because that's where I found out who I was, and I found out who he is. Come on, let's go to the well. I want everybody to go to the well. And honey, when you get born again, first thing you want to do is take somebody to where it happened. That's your testimony. That's what testifying's all about. That's what preaching's all about. That's what singing's all about. It's somebody who found out who they was and who he was, and now they want to take everybody to the place where they found out. And when you came to camp meeting, what you came was hoping you could go back to the well. That's where worship always takes place. Now, I know there's no virtue in a spot, but honey, it's what happened at that spot. Now, let me say three things here about this conversation. As far as I can tell in reading this text, this was a personal conversation. You read the text. He waits, everybody's gone. She shows up and he talks to her personal. I don't care if it's 10,000 around you. His conversations are always personal. And I'll tell you something else. As far as I can tell in this text, this conversation is private. And nobody else heard about it. The disciples come around and ask him, said, what are you doing? He don't even tell them. Huh? I'm fixing to say something to you. Buckle your seatbelt. If he ever talks to you, don't worry about it. He ain't going to tell nobody else.
Amen. Tell it, brother.
He ain't the one going to tell what he's told you. You know why? Because this conversation is not only is it personal, not only is it private, it becomes public. You say, how you know? Well, what did she tell him? Said he told me everything I ever did. You let an old sinner get saved, and I'm going to tell you, for some reason, he'll get up. Now, he ain't bragging on his past. He's ashamed of his past. But he'll go tell you everything he ever did. Because the Lord just told him. Had a lady in the service just here a while back, about 80 years old, get up and just in tenderness of heart. She said, you folks don't realize how I was. Said I was a harlot. I was the worst of the worst. And I thought she looked like a saint to me. You say, well, what's she doing? I tell you what she's doing. She was making public what Jesus had told her personally and in private. Now, let me say it this way. Again. Jesus ain't going to tell nobody what he told you, but he won't have to. Somebody said, you can hear the talk, all kind of rumors about this woman. Somebody said, you know that old woman, that woman had been, that lady, that she'd been married 5 times. And I thought she got married that 6th time, but I heard they is shacking up. Who told you? Disciples didn't know it. Jesus didn't tell it. Say, who told it? She did. She did. And let me tell you this. If your husband doesn't know what Jesus told you, if your wife doesn't know what Jesus told you, if your children don't know what Jesus said to you, if your parents don't know what Jesus said to you, if they don't know on the job what Jesus told you, he probably ain't never told you nothing.
Look out.
Because if he ever tells you, you're either going to sing it, pray it, preach it, talk it somewhere. It's going to get out, and Jesus ain't going to tell it. The disciples ain't going to tell it. You got to tell it. Come on, let's head back to the well, she said. I want you to up the well. She got up there at the well. She said, I met the Messiah, and I know he was. I know he was Jesus because he told me everything that I did. He told me about my first husband. He told me about my second husband. He told me about shacking up. He told me about, I don't know what all he told her. Told her all she ever did. She said, is not this the Christ? And it changed their lives. And all he did was struck up a conversation about water.